glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from James chapter 4, verse 15, New Living Translation. What you ought to say is, if it is the Lord's will and He wants us to do it, we will live and do this or that. James 4:15 and Hebrews 11:6 NIV. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. We're continuing in this new series preached by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. Last week and yesterday, we kicked off the Shaping Your Future Self with part one, The Awesome Power of Praise, learning what happens when we praise God with all of our hearts. Now, today and next Tuesday, we're in part two, with the focus being pleasing God by setting faith goals. And we'll learn why is setting faith goals so essential. Well, let me give you the six reasons that'll be covered today. Goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. Goals are statements of faith. Goals focus your energy. Goals keep you going. Goals build your character. And good goals will be rewarded. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church to help us launch into part two, Shaping Your Future Self, looking at pleasing God by setting faith goals.
If you take out your message notes, last weekend I started a brand new series, and I'm calling this series Shaping Your Future Self. Shaping your future self no matter what happens. And my goal is to help you think through a plan to become the person you want to be. You know, the fact of life is we can't control all the stuff that happens around us, circumstances. But you do have complete control over the choices you make and the ways you choose to respond. Now, if the last 2 years have taught us anything, it's demonstrated that long-range plans can be detoured very quickly, right? So how do you plan your life in uncertain times, like the uncertain times we're going through right now? Well, the Bible says that planning is a wise thing to do. But it also says we have to be humble about planning, and we really should use what I call scenario planning. If this happens, we'll do this, and if that happens, we'll do that. As James chapter 4, verse 15 says, in New Living Translation, what you ought to say is, if it is the Lord's will, and He wants us to do it, we will live and do this or that. So we make our plans with a grain of salt. Now, this past Wednesday, I told our staff that in uncertain times, when you can't make long-range plans, you just not just give up and make no plans at all, just drift along and, you know, let outside circumstances run your life. No, some of you have been doing that. You've just been drifting the last year or two. But instead, the more uncertain the time is, the shorter the plans you make. You make short-term plans. And you should even hold those plans with an open hand, with a grain of salt. So I told this to our staff, and then I asked our staff to make a 100-day plan. I said, let's just make a 100-day plan, and I want you to base your plan on two questions. I'm going to ask you to consider those same two questions at the end of this message. Now, we're going to talk about how to shape your future self. You don't want to stay the way you are. You want to grow. You want to think about, who do I really want to be? What do I want my life to count for? How do I want to make a contribution with my life? And the first principle of shaping your future self, becoming who you want to be, is to learn the principle of praising God even when you don't feel like it. Now, that's what we talked about last week. In part one, the power of praise. You know, this past week, I have literally been inundated with notes and emails from people saying that that message was the most important message they'd ever heard. In fact, it turned out to be a life-changing message for many, many people who wrote to me. So if you missed that message from part one, the awesome power of praise, I want you to catch up by watching that message online at saddleback.com. Now today, we're going to look at the second principle for shaping your future self and becoming the person you want to be no matter what happens around you. We can't control all that, but we can control what happens to you. And the second principle in shaping your future self is the principle of faith. And the title of today's message, I'm calling it Pleasing God by Setting Faith Goals. Pleasing God by Setting Faith Goals. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Pretty clear. The only way you can please God is not by your complaints or anything else, but you please God when you trust Him. You please God when you depend on Him. You please God when you act in faith. Now, as your pastor, here's what I want to do to help you today. First, I want to explain six reasons that goal setting in faith is so powerful in changing your life, just like praises, which we talked about last week. Why is setting faith goals so important? Then we'll talk about some tips on how to do that. Okay? Number one, you might write these down. First, goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. You may not have thought that, but goal setting is actually a spiritual responsibility. The Bible says God sets goals. He sets goals for history. He sets goals for the universe. He sets goals for the earth. He sets goals for you. The Bible says that Jesus sets goals. He had many, many examples in his ministry. And as you read the scriptures, all the great people in the Bible set goals in faith. One good example is Paul. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, it says this. Paul says, I know that I'm not yet what God wants me to be. Do you realize that in your life? You know that you're not yet what God wants you to be? I know I'm not what God wants me to be. I'm not yet there. I haven't reached that goal, but I keep moving toward it to make it mine because Jesus Christ made me and saved me for this. He says, I know I haven't reached my goal. But there's one thing I always do, forgetting the past, straining toward what is ahead, I keep my eyes focused on the goal. Now, that's the third time you use that word, the goal. I keep my eyes focused on the goal so that I may one day win the prize that God has called me to receive through Christ in the life above. And then he says, all of you who are spiritually mature, you should think this same way too. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to circle the word goal three times in that passage. Paul was goal-oriented. He set goals in faith, as did Jesus, as did all of the great people, men and women in the scriptures. You're going to go through life either by design or by default, okay? You either plan your life or your life just drifts. You either go design or default. If you don't have any goals, you're just drifting. You're allowing other people to direct your life. Now, as we're calling this series, Shaping Your Future Self, you're going to have to set some spiritual goals. It's a responsibility. Number two, goals are statements of faith. Every time you make a goal, you're actually stating, I believe, God, you're going to help me accomplish this by such and such a time or date. I believe God wants me to do this. That's a statement of faith. Goals stretch your faith. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, God can do anything. You know that. God can do anything far more than you could ever imagine or guess or dare to request in your wildest dreams. I love that in the message. Now, two of the common mistakes we make in setting goals by faith is we set them too low and we try to accomplish them too quickly. You see, you've never really believed God until you've attempted something you can't do in your own power. If you can do it in your own power, it's not a faith goal. So you set it a little bit out of your reach. You see, we overestimate what we can do in a year, but we underestimate what we can do in 5 years. We overestimate what we can do in a week, but we underestimate what we can do in 2 or 3 months. Now, during this series on shaping your future self, I want to dare you to to dream great dreams for your life. Let me say that again. As your pastor who loves you, I want you to dream great dreams for your life. I dare you. You know, I've done it all my life. I've dreamed great dreams for my life. Why? Because dreaming doesn't cost anything. You don't have to have any money to dream. Now, what's the difference between a goal and a dream? Well, a dream or a goal is a dream with a deadline. It's time dated. If you don't put a deadline on your dream, it's just a dream. But if you put a deadline on your dream, you set a date, it's a goal. And that's a statement of faith. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. According to your faith, it will be done to you. You get to choose how much I bless your life. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So set big goals. You see, nothing happens in your life until you set a faith goal. Now, let me give you a little tip. In a little bit, when I ask you to set some 100-day plan goals for your life, the most important question you're going to ask yourself is this. You're going to ask, write this down, will this goal require me to have faith in God? Will this goal force me to trust God? If you can do it on your own power, you know, that's not a faith goal. Will this goal require me to trust God and have faith in God? Here's the third benefit of faith goals. Goals focus my energy. Goals focus my energy. Now, you know as well as I do that the world is full of distractions, right? I mean, everything distracts you. We're in a very ADD culture. Everything distracts you, and there's everything trying to get your attention, but only a few things really matter. And the secret of effectiveness, listen, is focus. If you want your life to count, if you want your life to matter, if you want your life to burn for God, the secret of effectiveness is to focus it. Not these 40 things I dabble in, this one thing I do. Paul says it like this when he talks about faith goals in 1 Corinthians 9:26. He says, I do not run without a goal. I said, I'm just, who knows where I'm running to? I don't run without a goal. He says, I fight like a boxer who's hitting something. I'm not just hitting the air. I'm not just shadow boxing. He says, I'm not just playing around. Have you been playing around with your life during COVID? Have you been playing around with your life during COVID? It's time to start shaping your future self and not just let circumstances control yourself. Let me give you a fourth factor about goals. Goals keep me going. Goals keep me going. Goals give you endurance. They give you diligence. They give you persistence. Goals give me hope to keep moving forward. If you don't have any goal, you're hopeless. Goals give me the power to persist, the power to endure. You see, without a goal, you don't really have any reason to get out of bed. Without a goal, people tend to just give up. A good example of this would be Job, the way Job felt. Job 6:11 says, I do not have the strength to endure, and I do not have a goal that encourages me to carry on. Did you notice that goals are what give you encouragement? If you don't have any goals in your life, you're probably discouraged. Many years ago, I did a study, of Holocaust survivors. These were people who survived the Nazi death camps. As you know, over 6 million Jews lost their lives in the death camps. And we once did a civil forum here at Saddleback where I invited six Holocaust survivors who had lived in the death camps and made it through, come and give their testimony at Saddleback Church. And the one thing that they had in common was they had something to look forward to. They had a goal in their life. You see, a goal keeps you from being discouraged by short-term setbacks. You're going to have setbacks in life. We all have setbacks. Nobody goes through life without setbacks. Nobody goes through life with one success after another. But goals encourage you. Now, listen, a goal doesn't have to be big to motivate you. You can take baby step goals and be motivated by each small step. You know, the last couple of months, I've had a couple of hospital stays. And I noticed that when you're in the hospital, nurses come in and they have you set small daily goals. And I remember the first daily goal is, can you sit up? Okay. Can you eat? Then there's the goal of, can you get out of bed? Can you go to the bathroom? There's a goal of, can you walk the hall with your IV? Can you make it through the week? Their individual goals can keep you motivated. They don't have to be big. They just have to be clear. Now listen, if you're discouraged right now, you need to set some new goals. Let me give you a fifth reason why we're talking about this. Goals build my character. Goals build my character. Now, let me let you in on a little secret here. Why am I teaching this to you? Because the greatest benefit of faith goals is not what you achieve. It's what you become in the process. Faith goals shape your future self. We shape our goals and they shape us. You see, while you're working on your faith goal, God is going to be working on you. And that's what's going to last for eternity, your character. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says this, I keep striving toward the goal. I keep striving toward the goal. In other words, I don't give up. I keep making it inch by inch, baby step by baby step. Now, I want you to write this down. Okay, if you're taking notes, write this down. I will never become what God intends me to be without intention. I will never become what God intends me to be without intention. Do you intend to be any different by the end of this year? Let me just be frank. See, there are people here sitting beside you who are not going to be any different. They're not going to be any better at the end of this year. Why? Because they never intended to be. They never intended to be any different. They're just going to, you know, drift through the year. They will never set any faith goals. Let me give you one other reason why we're talking about what we're talking about this weekend. Good goals will be rewarded. Good goals will be rewarded. And I want you to get those goals. I don't want you to miss out on those goals. As your pastor who loves you, I want you to be rewarded. Now, there are two ways that you're rewarded for good goals. First, you're rewarded by people here on earth. And second, you're rewarded by God in eternity forever and ever and ever. Let me show you a couple of verses. Proverbs 11:27, today's English version says this. If your goals are good, you will be respected. Whoa. Everybody wants to be respected. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. We all want to be respected. We all want to have dignity. We all want people to value us. It says, if your goals are good, you will be respected. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. You know, why do we celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday? Because he had selfish goals? No, because he gave his life to unselfish goals. He lived his life for the benefit of others. I want to remind you that Martin Luther King was first and foremost a Christian and a pastor. He was a Baptist pastor of a Baptist church. He did what he did for the global glory of God. So you're going to be rewarded by other people when your goals are good. We honor people who have unselfish goals, like Martin Luther King and others. But never forget that your real reward is one that's going to last forever. We find this all through Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says this. All athletes practice strict self-control, and they do it to win a prize that will fade away. We're getting ready to go into the next Olympic. People have been, you know, working out for years, and they practice to win a prize, but that prize is going to fade away. But we do it. We set goals, and we practice for an eternal prize. That's why Paul says, so I run straight to the goal. There's that word again, circle it. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. That's New Living Translation. Purpose in every step. I want you to be a purpose-driven goal setter this year. Now, I've given you six reasons why this is the next step in shaping your future self. First, praising God. Power of praise, whether you feel like it or not, changes your life. Second, having faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we show our faith by setting faith goals. Now, let's get practical. Let me give you your next step in shaping your future self. This isn't for the rest of your life. I'm only asking you to think about the next 100 days in your life. That's all I'm asking, the next 100 days. This weekend, sometime I want you to get alone by yourself, and I want you to be quiet for a few minutes, and I want you to consider two questions. These are the same questions that I asked our staff to consider and send me their answers last Wednesday. Here are the two questions. Number one.
Oh, listening friend, don't hate me. I'm having to jump in here because there's about 15 more minutes to this message. And so we'll pick up here on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends as we continue with the series by Pastor Rick Warren, Shaping Your Future Self. And today and next Tuesday, we'll finish up with Pleasing God by Setting Faith Goals. Now, I won't totally leave you hanging. The two questions that are going to be asked are, what is the most important personal goal you'd like to accomplish? And two, what is the most important ministry goal you would like to accomplish in basically the next 100 days with God's help? And I'll also give you a little bit of a sneak preview for what you're going to hear on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, because there'll be three questions to check to have your goals realized, your God-honoring goals. One, will this goal honor God? Two, is this goal motivated by love? And three, will this goal require dependence on God? And you'll also cover three resources that you'll need for your 100-day plan, which will help you shape your future. One, you'll need God's Spirit to empower you. Two, you'll need God's Word to guide you. And three, you'll need God's people to support you. So all of that will be covered on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends as we continue with this five-part series. And this is basically part A of part two. And on Tuesday, you'll hear part B, Pleasing God by Setting Faith Goals. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org, also WLUJ.org, and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.